Well, good morning, everybody. How are you doing today? My name is Matthew Rowland. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. It's good to see y'all. I brought my own cheering section. I got, seven of my nine daughters out here? Good. Well done, ladies. Good job. For those of you who don't know us, I wanted to have four kids. Jane wanted to have six together. That's 10. So we have a big family, and we've been here for a long time. I'll just leave it at that. Pastor Joe and Nancy are getting some much-deserved rest, so I get to fill the pulpit today. Last Sunday, we had Pastor Chris just knock the ball right out of the park talking about knowing God. Today, we're going to be talking about finding freedom. Pastor Joe and Nancy get one more Sunday off, and Pastor Ben's going to be bringing the word next week. So we'll get into that in just a minute. But before we talk about our message today, I want to just find out how many ladies were at the ladies' event on Thursday night, the beautiful ladies' event. Good. Well done, ladies. And for those of you who weren't there, the goal is to create some fear of missing out. You missed an awesome C3 beautiful night on Thursday night. Don't miss the next one, okay? Now, speaking of beautiful, do you know the Bible says that beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? You know that the Bible says that? Y'all all remember the Bible, right? That's what the Bible says, and it's referring to people that are taking the gospel in Jesus' name to places that have not received the message yet. And this summer, two of our frontline short-term teams are going out to do that very thing. Right here, you'll see. Yeah, give it up for these guys. Over here to my right, this is our Berlin mission trip team. This is their 10th trip to Berlin, and they're taking 9 of our young people from our youth group with them. The leaders are Brian and Janita Brown. They are fantastic leaders. This group is going to be a powerhouse, hitting the ground running. They're going to be sharing the gospel one-on-one, praying for people on the streets of Berlin, and ushering the presence of God in worship out in public places. It's a pretty cool thing that they're going to be doing, and we are so proud that they're going in C3 Trinity's name. And over here, I'll be leading a trip with Terry and Kiwi Cook to San Jose, Costa Rica. Yes. We are going to be gone in June, right after Father's Day, and we're going, believe it or not, in 3 days to build a house for a family in need. So it's the equivalent of a tiny house. It's about 1,000 square feet. And when we land in San Jose, the foundation will already be laid in concrete. But in 3 days, we're going to frame, roof, paint, and get everything ready with a bathroom and a living room and a bedroom and all that good stuff. Yeah, and I just got a I don't have the picture here, but I just got word from the Homes of Hope program that we're working with. We found out who the individual is going to benefit from the home. It's a single mother with 2 children, and it's going to dramatically change her world. She's already connected to a local church down there, so not only is her world going to change and her kids are going to be set up for success, but she's already in a church family in community, and it's just going to be a home run for them. And I know that's the case because 2 years ago we did this very thing with a group of some of you. And for me personally, it's one of the most fulfilling things I've ever done. So we thought, well, let's go do this again. This would be a great mission trip. And I'm excited, our team's excited, and we appreciate your prayers and your involvement. And just so you know, this team has raised over $20,000. That's more than halfway towards their goal. So give it up for them. And our Costa Rica team, we've raised over $25,000 towards our goal. Yes, it's a big deal. They still have a little bit of work to do. As I know students that they're working, doing childcare, doing photo shoots, selling stuff online, telling their friends about it, figuring out every way that they're doing the possible and believing God to do the impossible. So one of the reasons I share these things is because you're our church family. We want you to know what's happening with your church family. And these are opportunities for you in the next season where you might want to jump on and be a part of a mission trip team. It's a great way to grow exponentially in your faith when you put yourself out there where you trust God to do incredible things and where you don't exactly know what's going to happen, but you're going forward anyways. How many of you know that God calls us to things that we don't know about so that he can stretch us and make us grow? Well, that's what's happening with these 2 teams, and I want to invite you to be a part of encouraging these team members. When you see them around the church, pat them on the back, tell them they can do it. We need your prayers. Please join us in prayer for these teams. And of course, if you want to plant a financial seed, we're inviting you to do that as well. You can do it online. You can use one of the envelopes. But for those of you, pray for us, encourage us, and sow a seed into these efforts. You get, without having to leave the comfort of your home and TV, you get credit in heaven for being a part of these trips. That is how it works in the kingdom of God, okay? I don't want you to miss out. You can be a part of the salvations, and the first time this single mom turns the key to her home, you can be a part of that experience by encouraging, by praying, by sowing seeds. Don't miss out. So please join us in those things, okay? And speaking of prayer, if you don't know how to pray or where to pray, you can join us every Tuesday right next door. We have a prayer meeting, don't we, Pastor Joy? We have a prayer meeting. Everybody is welcome. Come and join us at noon on Tuesdays for corporate prayer. Speaking of prayer, it's time to pray. We're going to prepare our hearts for the message that God has for us. Okay, let's bow our heads and honor the Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence that's with us. We thank you for the great things you're doing in our hearts and our lives. Lord, we bring to you the things that we still are believing you for and asking for change to come and miracles to happen in our lives. We present ourselves fully before you. We are yours. We surrender to your will. We want your way to be accomplished in our lives. We want you to be glorified, not just in our church family, but in us personally, in our families, in our circumstances. And we're here today to give you glory and worship you. And we're here today to have you do whatever you see fit in our hearts and lives. We trust you, we love you, and we give this time into your hands. In Jesus' name, and everybody said?
Amen. Freedom!
Security, please. Security, please. Thank you, Sal. Freedom, that's right. That is what we're talking about here today. Thank you, Sal. Give it up for Sal. Thank you, Sal. Now, I know your heart may have skipped a beat. You might need to go reset your pacemaker, but I asked Sal to do that because when I think about freedom, I think of that scene from the movie Braveheart. Y'all know Mel Gibson, Braveheart, in the 1990s. Well, if you don't, it's an award-winning, I think it got some Emmys or Grammys, or which one do you give for movies like that? It got some Oscars, some very important awards it got for being a very great movie. And when I think about freedom, I think of that movie. And that's the last phrase that William Wallace, who is Mel Gibson, that's the last phrase that he screams. He's a martyr going to his death, declaring the freedom that he believes so earnestly in his heart all Scottish people should have. You see, William Wallace was one of the leaders of the Scottish army. And at that time, the Scottish people were being oppressed and were under the thumb of the English. And so they had been like that for a very long time. They were really captives in their own country. But William Wallace came along and had a vision for freedom for his people. And there's a scene in the movie, it's probably the most famous scene. William Wallace says this, and he's in front of the Scottish army. The English army is ahead of them, 10 times stronger than the Scottish army, and the people, Scottish people, are ready to quit and leave. They don't want to fight this fight. They're outnumbered, they're outweaponed, they're outsmarted, they're out everything. But William Wallace will not let them go, and he screams at them. He said, "What are you going to do?" And they jokingly, laughing in the scene in the movie, say, "We're going to run." And all the people just start to laugh and cackle, and William Wallace, this is what he says. He said, "I fight and you may die. Run and you will live at least for a while, and dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that one for one chance, just one chance to come back here and tell your enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?"
I was so afraid that was going to turn into a Jamaican accent towards the end. You see, William Wallace knew something. Yeah, I was close. I was right at razor's edge. So very close. William Wallace understood something that the people had been, they've been oppressed for so long, they'd forgotten that deep inside of each and every one of us, there's a longing for freedom. There's a desire to be free. We don't want to live under oppression. We want to live free. That's the reason my kids at our house, we have a couple acres, they never wear shoes. They want to go and run in the grass and play. They don't want to be restrained by sandals or flip-flops or Velcro straps. They want to be free. Everybody gets it. We want to be free. God put that inside of us. In fact, it says in Ephesians 5:1, it's for freedom. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. That's his vision for our life. That's what he came to accomplish. Now, our salvation was settled once and for all the moment we said, "Yes, Jesus, I surrender. You're the Lord. I'm going to follow after you." Our salvation was settled.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says. Our salvation is settled the moment we confess him as our Lord. In that moment, we're delivered from sin and death and hell. Those things are taken care of, and there's nothing that the devil can do about it. But you see, God doesn't want us just stumbling into heaven over the embers of Jesus' sacrifice. He doesn't want us just to slide in or fall in backwards into heaven. That's not his plan for us. You see, God wants kingdom come on earth just like it is in heaven. God wants us to walk in freedom in every area, in every arena of our lives, okay? It says this in 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God came was to destroy the devil's works. Destroy the devil's works. So we have eternal security over here. We're saved. We're going to heaven. And yet our earthly freedom is something different. Eternal security, freedom here on earth. They are two separate things. Now I want to take you to a passage in the book of Deuteronomy. This is chapter 7 if you've got your Bibles or your apps. Why don't you turn with me there. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and I'll read verses 17 through 24. Now remember, as we read this, keep in mind this is Moses talking to his people, and they have just recently been delivered out of captivity, literal slavery, imprisonment in Egypt. Okay, these are God's people that the Passover happened. The enemies of Egypt are behind them. They have been rescued out of their prison cells, and yet God gave them a land of promise. He's leading them there, but listen to what Moses describes to them, okay? So Moses is saying to all the people, you may say to yourselves, these nations are stronger than we are. How can we drive them out? So they left Egypt. They're going to a promised land, the one with milk and honey and grapes and good things. But there's squatters there waiting to meet them. There's people in their promised land. There's people that don't want to leave. God gave them a promise, and yet it's full of enemies. Verse 18, but do not be afraid of them. Remember well that the Lord your God, what he did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. Remember what the Lord has done. Verse 19, you saw with your own eyes the great trials and miraculous signs and wonders. The mighty hand and the outstretched arm of the Lord had accomplished for you. The Lord your God will do the same to all the peoples you now fear. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until even the survivors who hide from you have perished. Do not be terrified by them, for the Lord your God who is among you is a great and awesome God. The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you, little by little. Look at your neighbor and say, little by little. Little by little. That's important for us to remember, as this has a parallel for us today. You will not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or the wild animals will be multiplying around you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you, throwing them into great confusion until they are destroyed. He will give their kings into your hands, and you will wipe out their names from under heaven. No one will be able to stand up against you. You will destroy them. Now, I read this passage because it really is a foreshadow for us as well. You know, we see the story of the Israelites, and it plays out in the life of a Christian today. It's a great parallel and some insights that we can take from this passage, all right? So again, Moses is talking to a people that are free, and he's trying to build them up and encourage them because they're going to a place where they're going to have to fight to maintain their freedom. They're going to have to do something. They're going to have to keep fighting. They were rescued to fight, okay? So the Israelites were out of bondage. They were out of their external chains. God was leading them to a place that's a blessed place, and yet there were still enemies to fight, okay? The Israelites, by the way, were their own worst enemies. So not only were their enemies in the promised land, but through their disobedience, through their testing of God, they inflicted many wounds on themselves. And the enemies they were about to fight up against were very, very persistent, kind of like Texas fire ants after several days of rain, or the chiggers that always show up in May, June, and July. They you can barely even see them, but they're a pest and a nuisance, and they don't want to go. They require effort, okay? Now, the Israelites, not only were they their worst enemies because of the things they did to themselves, but they also had this mindset. They had a prisoner mindset. They were still in chains in their mind, if not physically, in their wrists and on their ankles. They had what Pastor Joe calls stinking thinking, a messed up mindset. In the same way, when we get saved out of the imprisonment of our past, the devil doesn't have power over us. We're going to heaven, and yet he's a really good liar, and we're good at lying to ourselves. So we do still have an enemy. God knows he needs to toughen us up, and he needs to show us how to fight. He needs to build character in us if we're going to be able to hold on to the freedom that he has planned for us, okay? So the Israelites in this passage, they are about to meet the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and all the other ites. They're free, but they're going to fight. You and I have been set free, but we still need to fight fear, depression, debt, anxiety, broken relationships, poor choices that we've made over the years that we're still suffering from. We have a battle to fight too. We've got our own ites that we need to go up against. And why is this? Why doesn't God just snap his finger? Why doesn't he just wipe out all of our enemies? Why doesn't he just do the Thanos snap and take care of all these things? Because God knows that we need to have character developed in us so that we can hold on to that freedom, okay? Why is it so hard to get out of debt? Well, God knows, little by little, if he can build our character, we'll be able to handle that big day, payday, once it finally comes. Why is it so hard to get in shape physically? Okay, why has that got to be so hard? Because God knows for you to keep that washboard stomach, you're going to have the character to keep it, okay? Well, why does it take so long to raise kids? I mean, you know, there's some animals out in the wild that they have a baby and it's there for 3 months and then it's out of the nest and gone. Why 19 years? And I'm not bemoaning this fact. I love having our kids with us for 18, 19, however many years God sees fit. But God knows he's not just developing these children. He's developing the character of Christ in us as we raise kids, as we learn how to control our temper, as we learn how to encourage when things are difficult. Because he knows someday we're going to be grandparents, and we need to be ready with the character it takes to treasure those precious grandkids, okay? God's trying to build our character. He knows little by little we're going to grow in our character and get stronger and learn how to fight and be able to maintain the freedom that he has planned for us. And I've got great news for you. Once you get saved over here, once your eternal security is secure, this is what the Bible says about you in 1 John 4:4. The one who is now in you is greater than the one who's in the world. Who's in the world? Well, the devil is and you are. But God inside of you is greater than both those two bad guys, okay? We have Jesus alive in us. The same power, the Bible says, that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you and me. We need to change that prison Mike mindset to where we believe this is true. The power of the Holy Spirit resides in us. We can be as free as we want to be if we'll believe this truth and fight for it. All right? We have been rescued from the hell-bound rocket that Adam and Eve strapped to our back. Now it's time to fight. Some of you may know the song by Led Zeppelin called Dazed and Confused. Well, Christians, you could say of us that we're saved and confused when we first get saved. We get saved and then we get thrown into this MMA octagon where somebody's punching us right off the bat. Well, that, you know, we get disoriented, like, I didn't know I was supposed to fight. If somebody told you when you got saved that it's just going to be smooth sailing, it's nothing but singing and playing a harp by a beautiful river all the way until you get to heaven, you know that's not true. We know that's not true. Jesus fixed everything. Our eternal security is, we have relationship with God, all that's said and done, but it's still a fight here on this earth. There's still a fight that we need. And if we learn anything from the last 10 years of Marvel movies, it's that we love to see a good fight. We keep going back over and over and over again to see the good guys fight and the good guys win. Something in us longs for that. We love it. It's because we've been made superheroes by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's Captain Marvel's in, that's right. There's Captain Marvel's in this room. There's Thor sitting out there. There's Iron Man. Pastor Robert's like an Iron Man in the spirit. I mean, we are superheroes. We are supposed to fight. But God's not going to do for us what he's not going to do for you what he intends for you to do for yourself. You and I, we could never save ourselves. We could never deal with the issue of sin and our disobedience. Only Jesus could do that. But freedom, God intends for us to be empowered and to get stronger and to learn how to fight for what belongs to us. God's not going to do that. He's not going to snap his fingers and give us that freedom. We have to engage in the battle and grow and fight. That's his plan for freedom for us, okay? We know that we're fighting the enemy and his lies, and we know that we're fighting our flesh and our wrong mindset. But the Bible says, be encouraged, Ephesians 5:1, stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Stand firm. Don't lay down like a jellyfish in the sand that's washed up and let the seagulls eat you to death. Jesus came not just to set us up for the afterlife, but he came to give us abundant life here and now. And so bring this all the way back to C3 Trinity and why we're here and what our church is supposed to do. Pastor Joe and Nancy had a vision a long time ago to see God receive the maximum glory from this church and from our efforts here. Pastor Joe and Nancy want to see, for God's glory, disciples be made here at our church. So that's their internal motivator. That's their drive. That's why this church was planted. And our vision is clear. We are building a community for those who are searching for more of God. But practically, what does that look like? And why am I talking about freedom in that context? Well, last week we had Pastor Chris got up and preached about the importance of knowing God. This is a place where we're always going to challenge you to know God more. If you don't know him yet, we want to invite you to know him, because that's where it all begins. That's why it's a big banner out on the side of our auditorium. We are a people that want to know God, but there's more to it. We want to be a people who are walking in freedom, walking in freedom. And we here at C3 Trinity, we believe the primary way we're going to walk in freedom is as we walk together in our small groups. So knowing God happens in the corporate services. Finding freedom is going to happen in the context of knowing God happens in our corporate services. Finding freedom happens in the context of our small groups. We want each and every person that calls us their church home to discover their purpose, to know how you're gifted, how God created you, your divine connection to this place inside and outside of the church. And that's why we have our growth track that we encourage everybody to come and be a part of. And Pastor Ilya gave a very clear explanation of what that is. So join us for the growth track if you haven't done that yet. And then making a difference. We want to be a people that spend our lives for the glory of God until he comes again or until we go home. And so we do that here on our Make a Difference teams inside the church and outside of the church. We have a lot of opportunities for that. So that's our four-pillar strategy. Know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference. That's as simple as we can make it, and that's a track that we're going for personally. We want everybody who calls this your church home to go down that track as well. So back to finding freedom. There's a lot of different ways that you may have experienced in different churches or on your own study and initiative that you pursued freedom from different areas that you struggled in your life. You know, whether you read a book or went to a Tony Robbins seminar or had a deliverance meeting here at this very church, there's a lot of different strategies and approaches. And though we bless those, say yes and amen, and we participate in those too. But for us, we believe the primary way that we're going to find freedom and maintain freedom is in the context of a small group at the church. We believe that's the best way you're going to find freedom and you're going to maintain freedom is being in a small group. Because life change happens in the context of relationships, doesn't it? It starts with our relationship with God. It continues on our relationship with the Holy Spirit as he guides us into all truth, the Bible says. And then we maintain it as we do life together, as we walk out our life in front of others, as we remain accountable, and as we encourage one another. Life change happens in the context of relationships. This is what Proverbs 27:17 says. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that's a good thing. You know, you need a sharpening stone or an iron blade to sharpen another blade. It's good to stay sharp. It's good to be, this is meant to be an encouraging verse. Not drama conflict, but sharpening, encouraging, getting better, okay? Proverbs 3:20 says this, he who walks with the wise will grow what?
Wise.
Will grow wise. What happens if you walk with the fools? You're going to become foolish. What happens if you walk with nobody? Probably going to stay the same. When you walk with the wise, you will grow wise, the Bible promises us. So there's three things about small groups that I want to mention. And this is not an exhaustive list, but these are three things that we believe are going to happen in the context of small groups here at the church. Small groups provide a place to connect. Small groups are a place to connect with others. God intends for us to live in community. That was his idea. That's why we're called the body of Christ. God wants us to meet and connect with others. And in that place, we're going to find belonging, acceptance, encouragement, camaraderie, fellowship, other relationships, inspiration. God designed us to walk and live life together in community. God did not intend for us to be stranded on an island with just our Bibles. That is not the secret to spiritual growth, memorizing everything in the Bible and being able to recite it. No, it's being able to know what the Bible says and walk it out in your daily lives. I often thought, well, how great would it be just to have a year off to be a monk in a monastery? And God bless those who do it. But I realize, you know, it's easy to do that. When you have a family with kids and neighbors and community, and sometimes you just want a little break. But the reality is, if you go up to a mountain, you're just going to stay the same. You're not going to be challenged. You don't have to put the Word of God into action. You don't have to be tested on what you're learning. There's no sandbox for you to play in other words. That is not God's intention for us to be on a remote island. That is not the pinnacle of spirituality, okay? If you're a monk and you're called to be a monk, God bless you. Do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. But I believe that spiritual growth is stunted when you're on your own. I think the Bible is pretty clear and teaches that, okay? And let me just give you a little testimony by one of our members. His name is Wes. He had this to say about being in a small group. I've been blessed to be a part of a small group or help lead a small group for over a decade, and it's truly been one of the most rewarding experiences of my life. When you open up yourself to sharing God and sharing life with others, a rich and beautiful tapestry of lives is interwoven. He is such an eloquent young man, Wes is. Whether it's sharing praise and joy during blessings or sharing tears during sorrow or having others be a light during your darkest hours, it's remarkable. When you walk with others, someone is always there to have your back and lift you up. And I know Wes, and I know this is true of him. This is not a paid testimonial. This is really Wes's experience, and we appreciate him for sharing that. 1 John 1:7 says this, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." If we walk in the light, if we know Jesus, if we're going after his word and applying them to our lives, we will be in fellowship with one another. You can't get away from it. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches fellowship and community and living life with one another. And what an interesting place to be in an American church in a Texas on a Texas platform, that we are at the pinnacle of independence. And aren't we, though? We're at the very height of independence in the world. And yet, that is a cultural phenomenon that we have to recognize is against us. That is not God's plan. God called us to walk in community. There is a spirit at work over our church, over our city, over our state, over our nation that says, be independent, do your own thing, you know it all. But that God has not called us to be mavericks. He's called us to be people who walk in the opposite spirit, who walk and live in community. So we need to recognize, well, that thought that says, I don't need you, that's too much work, or I'm doing just fine, that is the spirit of the enemy. We need to come against that, and we need to do the opposite, which is to be in community. If the devil's telling you to run and flee, go hide, this church is telling you you have to do life in community, and you listen to that, you're missing what God's word says. We have fellowship with one another, the Bible says. Those of you who were born in the 70s, you might know a show from the 80s called Cheers. Anybody? Just raise your... Okay, yeah, just a few of you. Well, the theme song to that show goes like this. Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries, it sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go. Where everybody, I'll just read it, okay? I can't maintain it. Where everybody knows your name and where they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see the troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name, okay? You're not fooling anybody, okay? And I didn't come up here to try for the worship team. I was just trying to bring some of y'all back to my childhood, okay? You see, the world gets it. There's a reason why this is one of the number one sitcoms back in the 80s and early 90s. It's because what they described in this theme song was lived out on the TV show. These guys were doing life together. Now, they weren't doing it in Jesus' name or studying the Bible. They were surrounded by beers and they were at a bar. And yet, you see a glimpse. The world knows. The devil knows that you were created for community. He's going to tap into that, but he's going to try to pervert it and twist it. But God's plan is for us to be in fellowship and community centered around his son, Jesus Christ, and those of us pursuing God's word and its application in our lives, okay? So remember that. You're called to be in a place where everybody knows your name. So small groups provide a place to connect. Small groups provide a place to protect. When we do life together, our problems become smaller. And isn't that true? You know, I know this from my walk with Pastor Robert. If I complain about my stubbed toe or my backache or something that hurts on me, you know, it's huge in front of me. But once I get around Pastor Robert and do life and community, he quickly shrinks that for me because he's able to say, well, listen, let me tell you what happened to me. Or let me explain this hurt that I'm going through. Or let me show you what exercise the doctor's got me doing. And so all of a sudden, my issues get so much smaller, and they're like they're nothing in comparison to being around Pastor Robert. So that's one of the great things of community and fellowship is you start to share your story, you realize, you know, they've got it worse than I do. Or that, you know, we're all actually kind of in the same boat. You know, all these other folks have been down this road. It's really not that bad after all. When you're by yourself, your problems get amplified. When you're in a small group community, they get shrunk down and become manageable, and you have friends to help carry them with you. This is what it says in Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man. Pity the fool. Another 80s reference. Pity the person who falls and has no one to help him up. The one may be overpowered, too. I'm sorry, it's Mr. T. Pity the fool. Okay, sorry. I forget how old I am and how young y'all are. Mr. T, to help define my generation. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. Small groups also provide a place to grow. We believe every person is created with God-given potential to make a difference in the world. Small groups are a place where you can grow with others and become more like Jesus and reach a potential that God has inside of you. You have gifts, you have talents, you have expressions of the Holy Spirit that God wants to use you in, but not many people are going to be handed by the keys from Pastor Joe to get up and preach a sermon or by Esther to come and lead us in worship. We don't all have platform ministries, and yet we all have ministries that God has put inside of us that are meant to be exercised in the body of Christ, the safest place to grow and practice and learn how to give a word of encouragement or lead worship or to learn how to teach and exhort others is in a small group setting. Not only that, but a lot of our groups have topical studies that we cover from marriage to finances to parenting to specific freedom issues. These are great places for us to grow and stretch and become all that God wants us to be. How many times have you thought to yourself, when are they just going to talk? When are they just going to talk on at church about the people with hot rods that like to go camping and have three stepmoms and know how to fish? That is a message everybody needs. Well, probably not. You know, that probably makes no sense, does that? I'm trying to say, your particular issue that you want to address on Sunday morning, Pastor Joe never covers it. Well, guess what? You can cover that in small groups, and you can lead that in small groups. That makes sense? Okay. I should have written it down earlier. Thank you. You are so kind. Bless you all. Let me tell you what Alexis had to say. She's one of our brand new members here at the church. And she said this about her small group. I didn't believe it when my small group leader said it in the beginning, but joining a small group literally changed my life in many ways. The main thing I've learned is commitment. Ooh, that's a dangerous word these days. Commitment, learning how to be a part of something and not flake out. She said this, I chose to stop with the I'm busy and the Denton to Dallas commute is just too far, which it is pretty far. Excuses, and I intentionally committed. Every week, not only did I learn different perspectives of the Bible, but I was able to completely open up and let them into my real life struggles, receive prayer and encouragement to keep my focus on God through it all. I even gained the confidence to start praying aloud for other ladies in the group. She grew in the spiritual expression in her small group. And she learned to be intentional in her devotion time with God, and she felt like her faith has grown significantly. She learned how to get serious about reading the Bible and to commit. and to go deeper in her personal walk with the Lord because she was surrounded by continual encouragement in this group. After all she's doing and they're doing in her small group, what Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Hebrews 3:3 says this, encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, not just every Sunday when we see each other, but daily, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So here at C3 Trinity, we've of course talked about our small groups. We have a simple model for our small groups. We meet here on campus during the week in different groups. Other groups meet from house to house like the Bible describes in the book of Acts. And we have a semester system set up so you can try different small groups, and at the end of a 13-week semester or a 6-week semester in the summer, you may want to wrap it up, tie a bow on it, and try another group, or you may be a part of an ongoing group for years to come. We have a lot of different options. We have topical studies. We have some groups that are just focused on books of the Bible. We have mom's groups, and we have dad's groups, and we have prayer groups. We have a lot of options. But we would have even more options if everybody who's called to lead a small group would say, you know what, I'm ready. I've been here long enough. I'm ready to lead a group. But the point is, there's something for everybody here at the church. And we set it up in semesters so you don't have to feel like you're locked in where you have to. We don't want you to have to listen to my voice forever. You have other options. You know, you can go and hear Pastor Ben's voice, or you can go stare at Pastor Ilya because he's so wonderful to look at, right? So there's a lot of options for you here. We have these listed on our website. I'm sorry, Pastor Ilya. I'm so very sorry. We have a lot of great small groups, and I want to just introduce you quickly to one of our small group leaders here at the church. Her name is Allison Beislein. Take a look at what she has to say about her small group.
I'm Allison, and I'm married to Aaron Beislein, and we have 7 beautiful children, and we are members at C3 Trinity Dallas. The season of life that we're in can be busy and chaos. It has its ups and its downs. We actually recently bought a house in September. I actually had a prophecy given to me about 10 years ago about our home. And it's just through lots of years of praying and believing and crying sometimes, thing after thing on the lists that God answered. I think maybe the one that was the most amazing for us was horses. Sure enough, our 13-year-old was like, I want a boy and a girl horse. And whenever he wrote that down, just his faith even just has blessed my heart, because I honestly didn't know if I had faith for 2 horses. And so every day we get to enjoy these beautiful horses. When we were looking for our house, we started the process and we were praying. We knew that whatever decision of location where we would buy a house, that it was in regards to where the church was, because we love our church. And so we actually kind of drew a circle and said, okay, God, anywhere within an hour away from our church is what we're asking for. We actually were church looking for about 2 years. And I remember actually Jane Roland is who The Rollins is who we met and how we found Trinity. And I remember sitting in her living room crying and telling her, I feel homeless. I need a home. And she said, why don't y'all come visit our church? And I came home and I said, babe, I got another church for us to try. And we came and visited our first Sunday and brought all the kids and got in the van afterwards, and they were like, we love this church, Mom. We want to come back. We really like it. So we came the first Sunday, had a baby, and came back about 2 weeks later, and have been there ever since. So a few months ago, at the Women's Beautiful Night, Brandy asked a question. It was, does any of you like to sign up to lead a small group on Wednesday night? I just thought, you know, Lord, I'm already here, and I don't know you have gifts in me. It's been amazing. I'm definitely growing, because at first, you know, I'm thinking, God, I say pick me, but really, can be a little scary. And it's been wonderful. We've had 6 to 8 women show up on average. And it's been neat because, I mean, there's been a few evenings where it just seemed like the Lord just even took over and someone really needed to just be open and just have us pray with them. And we were able to pray with them. And so to anyone considering leaving a small group, I just say, first of all, definitely ask the Lord, you know, seek his face, but don't let fear keep you from doing it. Through this process, I've found freedom from just that fear of not being adequate, of fear of messing up or maybe not saying the right thing or doing the right thing or having the answer to a question. And but I definitely have gained so much, just even the connection, deeper connection with the ladies that come, and actually also for me just learning how just being available and the Lord saying go do this and not always like having maybe feel like, okay, I've got to make sure I've got everything set up and I've got everything prepared and I know the right thing to say, but just opening my mouth and trusting the Lord that he's going to speak through me. My name is Allison, and I have found freedom through leading a small group.
So there's Allison right back here and her husband Aaron. We're glad you guys are leading small groups. We're proud of you. Y'all are awesome. You know, Allison is just one of many of our small group leaders that we want to celebrate and thank. We just finished a semester of our small groups, and we want to thank you. So if you're a small group leader in the house, will you stand up for just a moment? We're going to clap and praise God for you and your example for us. Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you for what you do. We appreciate you. And here's a list of all of our small group leaders. Not everybody's here right now, but we're, you know, our small group leaders are the first line of pastoral care at the church. They are the way we facilitate and our primary focus of freedom here at the church is these, what these folks are doing. We appreciate them. We want you to get connected to them. And in the next couple weeks, we actually start a new semester June 9th. And we want you to get on the website and let us, you know, we got ways for you to get connected to a small group. But we want to make sure that everybody finds a place where you can land and be a part. And if you're interested, if you're like, you know what, I'm ready to do what Allison did and sign up on the dotted line to help others find freedom and find more freedom myself by leading a small group, we've got a training that's coming up Sunday, May 19th, after our second service. We want you to come get equipped, and we'll give you an opportunity, if you're a member, to lead a small group for us here at the church. So we're very grateful for our small groups and our small group leader, Pastor Ilya. Will you join with me in standing? We're going to close this service out with just one final story. Speaking of horses, this past Friday, we went from having 2 horses at our house to no horses, and they didn't die, so that's not where the story's going. But Jane and I have had horses over the years with our kids, and we've got a little bit of property, and I had a real vision for 2 miniature horses, which we got to enjoy for several years. But we just over the course of time realized, you know, we're not horse people after all. You know, nobody's out there working with the horses every day, and you know, they're just not us. So we finally came to that conclusion, like some of y'all thought you were boat people, and then you sold your boat and you were so much happier. Okay, it's kind of like that for us with these horses. So we have a couple acres of property. We take great care of the horses. It's just the 2 of them, though. But I talked to my friend Bill Jordan, who's got several horses as well. I said, hey, Bill, I've been looking for a new home for these horses. Do you know anybody who's interested? And Bill responded, because he's already got 4 of these same miniature horses. They're actually family members. I'm not going to make this story even longer. But Bill responded right away, said, I'll take them, exclamation point. So this is a win-win scenario, because these 2 horses were going to be reunited with their sisters and brothers and one of them with their mom. And so I said, it could not get any better than this. We got to enjoy these horses for years. Kids got to feed them. We did pony rides. We were ready for something else. And, you know, I couldn't find anybody else to take these horses, right? I've been working this thing for a while. But Bill said, yes, he would take them. So I knew this is going to be a great situation, because Bill's got a couple 100 acres. They've got 2 lakes. They won't have to drink out of a watering trough at our house. I won't have to remind the kids, somebody feed the horses, somebody feed the water the horses. Who's been out to pet the horses? No more of that. It's going to happen. They were taken well care of, but it's going to even be even better for these horses. What I thought in my mind, okay? Now, we've had these horses for 4 years, and we have not put them in a horse trailer once. We don't put a bit and bridle on them. We just do pony rides. So it came time for me last Friday to load them up in a horse trailer. And where is, yes, Kim Watson knows all about this, okay? So horses are fear animals. They don't want to do anything that they don't recognize or know to be true or have experienced before. So I had the horse trailer ready, and I'm trying to coax these wonderful little ponies into the horse trailer. I dumped a bunch of food in the horse trailer. I was kind and gentle with them. I had their lead ropes on them, but they were not interested whatsoever. And my wife was there watching me. It took me about 30 minutes of just profuse sweating, steering them, trying to push them, trying to lead them, trying to help them get into this trailer. They would have nothing to do with it. And I just started begging God, please, God, help me to get these horses in the trailer. And Jane, she actually said she cried watching me because, you know, they're trying so hard to get this thing done and something to that effect, right? I literally thought, I told her at one point, I think I'm going to have a heart attack. This is ridiculous, you know? Lo and behold, God answers prayers. I finally got the horses loaded up into the trailer and connected with Bill. I got a picture later that afternoon. It's just beautiful skies, green pastures, and these two horses are reunited with their brothers and sisters. And little Emmett, who was born at our house, got reconnected with his mother, Penny, and it just made me so happy. And I tell that story to say this. Those horses had no idea what was waiting for them. They had it good, but I was trying to get it so much better for them. To go from 1.5 acre to hundreds of acres, to go from a feeding trough to two ponds, to go from the two of these knuckleheads to being with the rest of their family, reunited with their mother. The situation, I knew it in my mind, this is the best, this is so much better than what they had. And yet they were fighting and kicking and screaming. I dodged several donkey kicks and several bite attempts in trying to get them in this trailer. They were kicking and fighting and screaming the whole way, and yet all I had was good intentions for them. And the same is true for us. God wants us in community. God wants us connected with people. God wants us to be in spiritual family. And yet we would much rather stay so oftentimes in our comfortable little situation that we can control, that we know, that's not fearful or new. But I'm here to tell you today, there's something better for you. If you're not connected yet in spiritual family, if you're not in the community of a small group, there's something God has for you that's better. It takes work. It takes effort. It is an upfront investment, but the fruit of it lasts for a long, long time, and you'll be so much better as a result. If you're here with us for the very first time, you're hearing about this stuff like, well, this guy wants me to be in a small group. I'm just visiting. No pressure, okay? But this is our spiritual family. As you get to know us, we want you to be connected in small groups and service teams, and we want you to know God and grow in this community. We've been called to build this community for those who are searching for more of God. Being in a small group is one of the main ways that we do it, and we want that for you. God wants that for you. It's a better scenario than for some of us what we're in right now. Amen? So with that said, the only homework is for you to get ready to find a small group to try to sign up for. If you want to lead a small group, May 19th is your opportunity. Small groups start again June 9th. We want everybody in this church to be connected, to have that covering, that protection, that fellowship that comes from being in a small group. So I'm just going to pray right now that the Holy Spirit will remind you, that he will keep this on your mind until you sign up and visit a small group here in the next couple weeks, okay? So let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and I'll pray us out with a blessing. Holy Spirit, we know that you're present and moving among us, and I ask simply for all my friends, for myself, that the things that you want to hammer home into our lives for our benefit, that they would stick with us, Holy Spirit. Bring to remember us the importance of these truths that we learn from your word about being connected in community, about covering and protecting one another, about doing life together. Remind us, Holy Spirit, over these next couple days as we think about it, over the next couple weeks as the opportunity arises, remind us, Holy Spirit, to get connected. Lord, we love you. We honor you. We want to give our lives wholly and completely to you in every way. Have your way in us in Jesus' name. Lord, bless all my friends on this wonderful Sunday afternoon in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Thank you, Esther.